What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with people afflicted with homesickness, and our boys like Eric Cartman, afflicted by big bone thickness. I'm Adrian, as always here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no cappin'.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Second episode in a row we've had an Eric Cartman reference. That was something that was completely regarded as normal in our high school friend group that I went to college and learned was considered cringe, which was liking South Park and Family Guy. I remember telling my college roommates that, and they were like, that's so weird you like that. Those shows suck. And I was like, what? They're so good.
That's what Poochie hit you with?
It was my roommates after that. It was a more artsy roommate.
Oh, the gatekeepers of cool. Nah, I still dig it. Still a good show.
The old episodes of South Park hold up.
Yeah.
It's literally a joke about a dumb guy that they do on various podcasts, but I sometimes watch Family Guy clips when YouTube suggests them to me. I'm like, ooh, let's see what funny thing Brian did.
We've already done this bit before, but you're doing like 13 times people were mean to Meg.
I forget like what serious publication put out like an article that was like a deep dive into the Chris Peter It Insists Upon Itself.
Oh, yeah, because that became like a huge movie criticism meme, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever look into that, Seth MacFarlane? He said it about the Sound of Music, apparently, is what his film professor said it about. Which, famously, I never finished. We watched it at the end of the year for chorus class a few times, but we always started it too late in the year to actually finish it. And so I think I've maybe gotten to the part where the Nazis come, but I don't think I've actually seen the final part of it.
The Nazis come pretty early on.
No. Like the dramatic stuff with the Nazis. Not like the, you know, just the fact that there's a Nazi. Yeah.
I thought like you meant the
about
boyfriend.
Their action.
Yeah.
No. Usually I'm on 16 going on 17. That's usually when we stopped it. What was I going to say? Shit. You were talking about, liking South Park. Oh, wait. What'd you have to say?
I'm just imagining Jerry Seinfeld listening to 16 going on 17 and getting revved up, bro.
You ever played any of those video games? I know you're a video game guy.
No.
Oh. It really looked like, from your facial expression, you were about to go into a thing about how much you like them. I can't remember. Which one's the, if you look up to this direction in your eye, it means you're lying. If you look up to this direction in your eye, it means you're remembering. Because I was like, he's clearly unlocking some memories right now.
Is that true? That feels like a fake thing.
It's body language analysis. It's very true.
Yeah, I forgot you're a body language guy.
Yeah. BLM. Body language matters.
Did you ever get really like,
yes,
now that we're adults, in retrospect, maybe not bad advice. Man, it's crazy enough adults believe this that I remember teachers like sharing it in class and being like, watch out for this if you're wondering who has a crush on you. About like,
why are they
which
talking
way
to you guys
people's
about that?
Feet are pointed
while
you're standing in a group. I feel like I remember multiple adults like telling me about that. Like, hey, watch out for that. You want to know who likes you, don't you?
No one told me that. No one thought I was having trouble getting laid.
No, I feel like they told the class, shut up, man.
No, whenever they're talking to me, they're giving me shut very up, practical advice for how to not get STIs and how to get people pregnant. Because they were like, we know you're fucking.
I think you might have been being groomed, Adrian.
They're like, we can't stop you laying pipe across this city, but we can make sure you're doing it in a healthy and safe way.
What'd you get up to this week? How are you, man?
Pretty good. It's been busy. Busy. Got a lot of writing done.
How you said that reminded me of like a mom being just like so extra, like, oh my god, it's busy bee over here.
Running around all day. I didn't have any media roundup. I don't know. I don't remember what I've watched this week, but nothing that memorable. What about you? Oh, I fixed my car window. That was cool.
I watched Friendship. The new Tim Robinson, Paul Rudd vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Calling it a vehicle? Okay.
Like I've been Hollywood.
All right. Did you listen to Comedy Bang Bang recently where they made that joke?
No. Oh,
okay.
But yeah, it was a good time. I don't know why the way Phil described it when he was like, you gotta go see it, made it sound like it was gonna be a raucous laugh riot sort of film.
Well, I don't think any of us knew what to expect. We've only seen the trailer, yeah.
And I really liked it, but man, do not go into it expecting something that feels like as light and fun as Tim Robinson's
show. As like
show,
the guy who just wants to do the zipline? So you're saying I should drop a bean before I go watch this?
I thought it was freaky. I feel like you might get anxious on a bean.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm dropping my bean before I go watch this.
It was anxiety-inducing to see a Tim Robinson character across
in the real world
time span of an entire movie, interacting with the real people who don't just stop existing at the end of the skit, but then he has to, like, interact with them again at a later time. Mm. It's obviously that character in a skit is just like, oh, ha, 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 and then you move on. In the context of, like, a movie with ongoing, like, relationships between these characters, it makes him come off like a sociopath. Even though he's acting exactly like he would in the sketch, you're just like, this man is going to murder everybody. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know what the full lore is, but you know it's not written by Tim Robinson, right?
Oh, no.
I wonder what the guy who wrote it was going to do if Tim said no. I really wonder if he, like, had him attached from the beginning, or if it was like, well, I guess I'll find some other dude who kind of does a Tim Robinson thing.
It's indescribable. I will say that. It is kind of unlike anything I've seen before.
It's not like I Love You, Man, but for sickos.
Oh, actually, that's not a bad way to put
it. That's in the trailer. Cool. Anything else?
That's it.
Sweet. How are you feeling about this Biden cancer diagnosis?
How am I feeling about it? Well, I was taking a look at his T cells, and I think he's probably got a fairly good shot, you know, especially if he starts eating
organic.
That's
your prognosis for his aggressive form of prostate cancer?
I have no clue. What am I supposed to know about his prostate cancer?
I don't know. He's addressed the nation about it.
He still has access to that? I thought you had to be president to, like, hit the button.
He still has everyone's phone
numbers.
Have,
like, a camera on NBC, ABC.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, the aliens came?
Mm-hmm.
They offered us a pretty good deal. They're only going to eat half of us, and the other half get to be slaves.
They're
going to
Thanos us.
It was either that or they eat all of us, so.
Pretty
you're
good
welcome.
Deal.
Meanwhile, you see in the background piles of alien money stacked up by the president.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else happened in the last week. It's been a busy one. Let's see. It was my brother's birthday on Sunday. He was sick, so he didn't do much. But shout out to Nando.
All right. Do you want to get into the theme, Adrian?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it seems like it's about that time. All right. Homesick, and not the seminal 2011 album by A Day to Remember, but rather the feeling that we get when we're away from our abode. Paul, you're a big hat guy. Home is where you put your hat. Home is where your hat is. Home is where you lay your hat. What is that phrase?
Oh, I don't believe in that at all. I definitely, on the first day living somewhere, don't feel like it's home yet, and I'm very uncomfortable.
Even though you've hung up all your hats in, like, a complex, like, cool sneakerhead style way on your wall?
I don't think that works with my regular hats. I think that really is a flat brim type situation.
Okay. And you got the curviest brims.
I don't get homesickness a lot anymore. It's been a long time since I've felt that.
Mm.
Maybe because I move so often as an adult, the life of a renter, that I don't feel like, obviously,
wait,
I feel
are we
like
calling
home
one
is
part
here.
Of Charlotte and a different part of Charlotte different cities, or what are we doing there?
Oh, are you talking about homesickness for a city? I often think of homesickness as just for, like, the actual building
you live in. You mean the physical building? Who gives a shit about? So wait, when you're a kid and you go to your first sleepaway camp, homesickness is being like, man, I want my two-bedroom house again. I want the kitchen that I usually go eat breakfast in.
I think a lot of kids, it's like that, yeah.
No, it's your parents. It's the people. What are you talking about? What kind of robot are you?
Yes, the people are part of the package, but
No. I don't need them to be there. I need the...
I don't get what you're saying. I feel like what I'm saying totally is fair. You can be homesick staying one house away from the house you're in. You don't have to be in a different city.
That's like missing your bed. That's like a Drake lyric. I don't think that's homesickness.
I think it's very commonly used for kids like on a first sleepover when they call their parents and they're like, I don't like it here. They're like, oh, they're homesick.
Yes. They want to be here with their family, with the people they love that they're familiar with, that they normally spend.
Yes, but it doesn't matter if they're one house away or two houses away having that sleepover. And they could still be in the same city is what I'm getting at.
I guess I just don't think that the physical home, I guess maybe if your room, if you like.
You're right. Maybe that was too specific a way to put it. But yes, I think
okay.
It has to.
Okay.
I
think we can come to a consensus. Okay. All right. I'm okay with that.
Because then we get into a whole ship of Theseus thing where it's like, what if you deconstruct the house one pillar at a time? At what point do you become sick for it? And you know what? I'm not here for that bad juju, for that sort of philosophy question that's going to make my brain explode.
Okay, my man. What kind of good juju are you here for? Yeah, I guess so. I think the way that I was thinking about it is when I first got homesick, when I first slept away at camp in North Carolina, I would have taken my parents being with me there over me being in the physical location of my room alone.
Like, okay, you're in one place in Sacramento and you get a new house, say.
What about
you? Don't feel homesick for your old place after moving, even though it's not like, oh, you miss your old roommates, but like you just feel like you're in a different area. Like,
no, I can get there.
It's
in
just
like 15
a different
minutes.
Space. Interesting. Yeah, no, I get I that know. Type of homesick.
Yeah, I mean, like I
like
love
a foreign environment makes me feel like a little bit like, oh, I don't know, I'm just not comfortable here.
Interesting. No, yeah, like I've had like I think one of my students was asking
your
me,
first night sleeping in a new house doesn't bother you. That is fascinating.
No, yeah. As long as I have all my stuff out, and I'm a very big, efficient unpacker, I don't have that much stuff. By the time, if I have a full day, which I usually do when I move, everything's done and completed, and I feel at home.
Interesting. Yeah, no,
like,
not me.
Yeah, one of my students was asking me about, like, where I've lived in grad school, and, like, do I miss, or what was my favorite? And I was like, oh, my favorite was probably Oak Park. I don't miss the house that I was in. I like that area. But also, I can get there any day in, like, 10 minutes. So, like, I'm not homesick for Oak Park. It's too close. That's way too close for me to be homesick for.
I disagree. I think you can be homesick so close to a place you were.
Damn. Okay.
It's vibes and aura based to me, not like there's no magic. Oh, I'm not homesick because of this thing.
Hmm. Interesting. I think we're in an impasse.
It's a certain feeling. It's a certain aura. Like I can tell you what it is.
Hmm.
You know what? We need a poet.
I could show you better than language. I could tell you. I could sing it better than I could tell you.
One, two, three, four.
Home is a place where I have my five PS5s. Anytime I go to the grocery store, I'm homesick because I don't have my five PS5.
Oh, PS5, how I love you. Oh, PS5, how I miss you.
Mm-mm.
I like that Adrian took my log PS5 note to send a text.
Sorry, no, I was Pierce texting me, which was abnormal, so I thought something might be happening. Take me home, country road, to the PS5s. I've only known. So yeah, how was your first sleepaway?
You know, I mean, it's like pretty equivalent to being an adult. I was never like I need to call my parents sort of kid. I was always just like, I felt a certain sense of ennui usually once the lights were turned off and I was like trying to get to sleep. It just like was like, oh man, this feels a little weird. I
didn't
I don't
get
like
a little
it.
Kiss on my forehead and tucked in.
Yeah, I don't feel as safe and comfortable as in my own bed, but okay.
Mm. I had a, and this might be a little bit too old, but a one Mr. Came over to stay at my house in like 7th or 8th grade. And he, like, full-on had a panic attack because he was sleeping. I let him sleep in my bed, and I slept on the floor in my room. And not only did he wake me up because he was, like, having a panic attack, he made me, like, talk therapy. Be like, I just need someone to talk to. Can you just talk to me until I fall asleep? And I had to, like, calm him down off of a cliff because he was sleeping at our house instead of his house. But I think for me, growing up with a neighbor who my mom spent all of her time at working because she was their nanny, and I spent a lot of time at, and we definitely like did really early sleepovers. Like it was no big deal. I could walk home if I wanted to. I don't think I was never a nervous going over to sleep somewhere else kid, except for being a stayed over like summer camp when I was like in elementary school. Late elementary school was like the first time where I was like, oh shit, like I don't like I'm a little uncomfortable right now, but never like going to someone else's house in Lexington was ever a big deal for me.
No. Yeah.
It might have been traumatizing for the parents. I found one article that wasn't actually an advice column, but it was like the question was, what do you do as a parent the first time you have to send your kid away somewhere?
Mm.
I don't think it was a big deal for my parents. I think my parents were like, yeah. Finally.
I guess I get what you were saying about that one friend, because it's like it wasn't till the lights were off and I was laying there that it's like, oh, it feels different now. Mm. Like there's a feeling that sets in.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was never so bad for me that I couldn't just like, you know, flip over a couple times until I fell asleep.
Mm.
It is a funny thing that it happens so often that it's like a known stereotype of like people having to call their parents to take them home.
Yeah. I think I went to a few, maybe I didn't know everybody in the group, birthday party sleepovers where like one or two kids didn't make it the full night.
Mm. because you murdered some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was me in the dining room with a candlestick holder. Yeah, no, I don't know. When we came into this episode, I was prepared to talk a lot more about, like, being in California and being missing the East Coast more than I was prepared to talk about missing a particular house that I used to live in two years ago.
No, that's a different type of homesickness. Go for it. I'm not saying that that doesn't count either.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know. I famously, and I'm sure Pierce will appreciate that, I mean, I famously basically took a 6-month break from my PhD just to go home. So, you know, I definitely felt it. I felt it a lot. I got a smirk, but not a good answer from someone once where, like, I asked them in grad school, I was like, does it ever feel like I'm the only one who talks a lot about, like, where I'm from and, like, the friends that I have back home? It feels like everyone else just kind of moved on and, like, doesn't really talk about their old friends or anything. Like, is that just a me thing? And they're like, And I was like, is that just me? I don't really understand. Like, do you guys not have, like, really good friends that you guys left behind or anything? Like, why am I the only one ever talking about the fact that I'm, like, on the phone with my best friends every day?
I think a lot of people move on pretty quick. I mean, I got that with my, like, moving to Charlotte after college. I felt like a lot of people were definitely so ready to leave behind their old lives and then even leave behind Charlotte at the drop of a hat, where I was a little surprised. I was like, does nobody anywhere ever anymore, like, try to put down roots? Is that not a thing? But I guess I did that too. Eventually I moved, so it's like,
yes, you still got shooters in those streets,
I guess, but you're never going to be close to people like you were when you actually lived in the same town. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's just kind of the world we live in now, where it is, like, people are pretty quick to leave behind any, like, any idea of, like, a community that they had as children.
Damn. That's crazy.
Also, kind of cocky for us to say, because we have a bunch of friends who did stay in Lexington or around the area and were the piece of the shit that left.
Yeah, but we stay in contact.
No, you're right. I do find a lot of adults, it seems like they have no connection at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they leave college and they're like, college friends or whatever. They left high school friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. They leave a city, that's whatever.
But my daddy told me you treat your day ones like your brothers. That's all I'm saying. I will say, though, in terms of old connections, this isn't really homesick, but maybe this was more of an IB thing. But did you guys have a lot of, like, people who went off to college for 1 or 2 years and would come back and talk to your class in high school? Or people who would just come back to visit high schools or high school teachers. Yeah, I really, like, I think because of IB, I really had this expectation that I would be, like, taking time out of my day to go back and visit my high school teachers. And, like, I was 5 minutes away from my high school for, like, a full 6 months, and I never thought about going to, like, talk to my high school teachers.
No, I think the joke is that those kids are always a little sad, right?
I mean, they're not creepy. They're not, like, the ones who hang out in the parking lot to, like...
I'm not saying that they're the Letterman jacket kids. What I'm saying is that they still also liked their teacher a little too much. And it's like there's a certain, like, desperation for validation that comes with being like, that's, I need to come back and show them how well I'm doing and that, like, I'm a mature adult now.
Yeah. I'm a
sophomore. And, you know, that kid is definitely the one who's making jokes about drinking beers with the teacher because he's like, I'm an adult now, I can do that. And it's like such a weird put on energy.
Yeah,
man, that always got to me with the, like, people who, like, drank a little but really made it a part of their personality.
Oh yeah,
especially with, like, adults,
college kids that did that. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, anytime an adult was around, they were like, you know, because we're drinking.
I had that in a freshman Spanish class that I took. Maybe they were a year or two older than me, I don't remember. But we were doing an exercise where we were in small groups talking about our weekend. And the two women that I was in that group were so excited to be like, oh, yo, baby, un poco vino esta fin de semana. And I was like, yeah, I get it. We're all in college.
Fun.
We all drink this weekend. We're all in college. Yes, I get it. You guys aren't bad for doing that.
I think they're being a little bad.
Oh, yeah, they're being a little bad. They were a little bad. But yeah, any other times you've been homesick?
No, I mean, I do miss the South sometimes, but it's not like...
Well, you're the king of the mischievous South.
So you talk about home a lot.
Take me home, country road, to the place.
I don't think I talk about home that often.
Really? No time about being a good Southern boy?
Nah. I do offend people every once in a while by telling them I don't consider Northern Virginia Southern, but...
Yeah, it's Northern Virginia.
I know, but I'll tell you what. I also pushed that line down to I barely consider Richmond Southern. It just doesn't feel like a Southern city when you're in it. So
that's true.
Which will never stop being funny to be that one guy who's saying Richmond, north of Richmond, line directly above where he lived. He's like, the problem is the Northerners, who are, by the way, just feet north of me, where I live in the South.
Yeah, I think Doralee was telling me that when she went to go watch Sinners with somebody, and she was talking about being from the Deep South, and she was like, the person didn't believe me, so I had to Google Deep South to show them that South Carolina is a part of it. Like, I don't know what they thought. I don't know.
I will say that I've never used the term Deep South to describe.
I've used it in essays to describe where I'm from more like succinctly. Or maybe, I think I also used Bible Belt before.
I do sometimes feel the need to tell people that, like, I'm from, like, the South, but the part of it that's kind of like a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
It's like suburbia mixed with a lot of Southernness.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of Southern energy, but it is also, like, McDonald's and Burger Kings.
In the McDonald's and the hamburger. Yeah, I don't know. That'll be its own episode at some point, or maybe we've already done it. But yeah, you know. Just being far enough away from where you grew up that you can, like, meet someone else who's been to where you grew up and be like, oh, yeah, don't you like the fact that we have a cookout there? Or, like, you can go to Publix or that, like, you know, like, the way that people from certain parts like Wawa or, like, whatever bullshit or Buc-ee's or whatever they're into.
Yeah, I know, right? Their shit is so stupid. Our shit is cool, though.
Yeah, our shit rises. Publix is cool. They're going to be orange in 10 years.
All right. You want to get into a column?
All right. What you got?
I brought in Karen Feeding. My son keeps calling me to pick him up from sleepovers, by Nicole Cliff in 2019. My 8-year-old son invariably needs me to come home from sleepovers in the middle of the night. He gets homesick. I did as well, so I understand the horrible, nauseating feeling. The problem is, he keeps wanting to attend sleepovers just the same. This is not a sustainable situation. I don't want to ban him from attending, and obviously I hope it will gradually help him get over his homesickness, but that hasn't happened yet. What do I do? I don't want to be driving at midnight every 2 weeks. I don't know. It doesn't seem like that big a problem.
Every 2 weeks?
Yeah, to do a little midnight drive.
8 years old? Okay, so let's see. The problem is he wants to keep attending sleepovers just the same. Just pick him up at 9. Like, make him do like a, you're just going to stay until bedtime and then I'm going to pick you up then instead of in the middle of the night.
Wait, 9 is the bedtime at a sleepover? What born ass sleepovers were you going to?
For third graders? I don't know.
Maybe in my mind it felt late.
You know what's funny is that, like, out of all of the things that, like, me and Doralee, or that Doralee and I's friends did, in terms of, like, sketchy stuff and drugs and alcohol, way too early, young, whatever bullshit, the only time my parents ever considered banning me from going over to a certain person's house was because we stayed up the entire night one night and I was very loopy the next day. And so I came home acting very, like, weird. And my parents were like, maybe you shouldn't go back to Jeremy's. And I was like, nah, it's cool there. We should go back there. And they were like, all right, whatever. But that was literally the only time, like, coming home high, coming home drunk, whatever. Didn't care. I guess it was a little bit earlier than that, that, like, literally our source of, like, non-sobriety was just stay up and get loopy. But yeah, I remember that. It kind of made me laugh.
You didn't just go to bed when you got home?
No, I was like, dude, if you keep staying up, it gets crazy, dude. We just keep doing this.
I feel like this is a problem with having a cell phone too early, because what your kid needs is a shame of having to ask the other parent.
Yeah, he has to wake up another parent, has to be called his parents, and then get picked up in the middle
exactly.
of the night. Exactly. He's making a
Whereas,
ruckus.
It's so easy if he feels a little uncomfortable to just be on his cell phone and be like, Mom, pick me up, text message style.
You up? Because I am, and I'm terrified.
Exposure therapy, 10 feet away from the house in a tent every night, increase 10 feet
Ooh,
until
backyard
he can
tents?
Sleep far away from the house.
Feeling a little parasite?
Backyard tent, and then...
And then he's in Yosemite by the end of the year.
Edge of the front driveway tent, down the street tent.
Down the street tent? In the middle of the road?
okay, you ask a neighbor, can we set up a tent?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get my kid to stop being such a pussy.
Mm-hmm. That exact verbiage.
We got one of those broken ones, you know, one of those ones that likes art and not football.
Oh. If you want a little tip from me, if you're really having trouble sleeping, a little gummy, a little edible gummy at the end of the day. Really gets you in bed.
Yeah, set him with some Vicodin and just let him knock himself out.
Yeah, he'll make it. He'll survive. He just has to prove that he can do it.
Yeah, once he's done it once, yes, he will be an addict for life. But also, he'll know that he's brave enough to fall asleep at another person's house.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like I said, I distinctly remember this happening to kids that I went to sleepovers with. Maybe it was because, like, what I was saying, where sometimes it was someone who, like, maybe I knew from soccer and they had other friends who didn't come to school with me or whatever, but, like, it wasn't a big bullying thing. Like, no one really cared. I guess this is more about the parents and their inconvenience than about the worry of them being bullied, but it's like no one really held on to that information to bully someone.
I never had that situation happen, but yeah, the bullying thing isn't based off like IRL information. That's just like media tells you that it's so. Like supposed to be embarrassing.
Yeah. Or that like kids fear that that's going to be part of it. Yeah. You're more just an inconvenience to your parents.
As you often are.
Mm. I do remember.
Don't come pick him up.
Yeah.
He's going to fall asleep eventually.
Or stay up all night. Then it's fun.
When he texts you, text him back, "No, we're never letting you back home again.
You live there now."
Text back, "This is Officer Jones. Both your parents died. You have to sleep there forever, actually." Throw him in the deep end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wake everybody else up. Play spin the bottle. Figure stuff out about yourself.
You want to hear the answer?
Yeah. What do we got? Oh, send the kid to military camp?
As someone who never made it through a sleepover without having my dad come get me until it involved sex and sleeping over as an adult, my heart goes out to the wee lad. I think 8 is old enough for a sit-down in which you say it's a real pain to have to pick him up in the middle of the night, and you want to take a temporary break from trying sleepovers again until he's 9. Maturity growth happens in jumps and bounds over time, and he will have a totally different experience when he's a bit older. But right now, he ain't got it. There's no harm in recognizing that reality. Why not say that in the meantime, he could attend sleepovers with a planned pickup at 9 p.m.
Hey,
make up some sort of early visit to see grandma. That way he gets to have fun with his friends without lying awake thinking about how much he'd rather be in his own bed. Give it a try. I really just like her saying, he ain't got it. You ain't got it, kid. You're never going to make it in Hollywood.
Man, two types of kids in this world.
You ain't got what it takes for a sleepover.
Mm-hmm. Two types of kids in this world. Kids that can stay over at someone's house and queers. Which one are you? Yeah, like I was saying, just make it more convenient for you. That's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah.
I didn't even say, like, do the cover-up story. I was saying just be real about it. But I guess if as a parent, you're probably more attuned to that.
His friends are like, why do you see your grandma? Doesn't she live 3 states over? Why do you have to see her every Saturday morning?
No, I would definitely do a thing of, like, oh, yeah, he's got to leave at 9, otherwise if he sleeps over, he always pisses his pants. That's why I'm always picking him up in the middle of the night. So unless you guys want to have to clean the sheets every time, I'm going to come get him at 9. Alright, are you ready for my article?
I am.
Alright, so this is from a new outlet called Healing Couples Retreats, Intensive Marriage Retreats with John Gray, PhD. This is their advice column. I really don't know much about this guy at all. Apparently, he's written multiple books. He's a relationship guy. Here we go. I am scared my girlfriend may leave. Question for John. I have been in a relationship for just over a month. We met at work and now live together after becoming friends. I realize to be living with her so soon is quite a big step, but that is not really the problem. She left her hometown to be here and has suddenly become very homesick and misses her friends and family. I am scared she may leave me to go back. I am new here myself and know very few people. She left her home as her boyfriend left her after 3 years of going out together. This happened about half a year ago. She is uncertain if coming here was the right move. She also doesn't enjoy her job here as much as she used to in her town. We both want to travel together. The thing is that she has become distant recently, doubting the move, the job, misses her friends, and family. She is almost scared of being loved again after her ex-boyfriend left her so badly. I try and help her by telling her that she will find her way and that I will support her all the way, and if she wants to move back home, I will go with her. I get on well with her parents, and her friends all like me, which was not the case with her ex. How can I help her? I feel scared that because she feels depressed about being here, the move, her job, and misses everyone, I feel scared that she will associate all those bad things with me, and she will leave me. Please help. I don't know how to help her and stop our relationship from falling apart. Thank you so much.
I'm trying to put together what he's saying in that opening paragraph. They started living together as friends and then started dating all within the last month?
Maybe. Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. Yeah, they don't really explain the timeline.
And all of this was in a new city that they both moved to?
Yeah. I don't understand what the issue is if he's willing to move back with her.
Yeah, there's something really odd about this that makes it feel like a mess that's definitely going to go wrong, mostly because I can't really grasp what the situation is. So it makes it feel like it's a real weird, messy situation.
We both want to travel together. What does that mean if that doesn't mean that they're going to move together? What does that mean?
He just means separately, like we're both interested in going to Paris for a summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You don't think so? I'm not even joking. I really, that's how I took it. Well, but I have no idea. Like I've said, yeah,
that's
question
very poorly written.
Gotten me lost.
If she wants to move back, I will go with her. So what's the issue then?
And then the weird wrench where it's like there's also an X?
Yeah, I don't think the X really matters. That maybe the X is part of why he thinks she'll leave without him, because she doesn't want... I don't know. I've talked about this before. This seems like a Scrubs thing where, for some reason, the writers were obsessed with the idea that everyone self-sabotages in relationships instead of just being honest about what they want. I don't know. I don't know why this ex is such a big deal, that the fact that she had a bad relationship in the past matters. I guess it was 6 months ago, but he doesn't even say how far it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's one apartment complex away. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's from Durham. We live in Raleigh.
Well, you know, she's more of a Minneapolis girl, but I'm the kind of St. Paul guy, so.
She's just a St. Paul girl. Yeah, I didn't read this full question before I picked it. It's kind of a mess. But let's stick to the basics. You have a girlfriend. Okay. She might be happier at home, and she might be becoming distant because she wants to go back home. What do you do? What would you do if Isabel wanted to go back to...
I think
to,
it definitely... No, no, no. This is not a similar situation at all. This is so colored by the fact that they've only been dating for a month. You cannot uncouple this weird-ass situation from that.
Yeah, yeah.
In that they apparently started living together before they were dating, but he's already so attached emotionally that he's terrified of her leaving him. Bruh, if it's already this hard, maybe it's not meant to be. That's my advice.
Wait, they've been in a relationship for a month. Was it, like, pre-dating that he met the parents and the friends? Or, like, what is going on here?
Yeah, maybe they just kind of knew each other. Maybe they were part of a... Well, no, because they worked together, so it's not like they were part of the same friend group.
Does he also hate his job, or is it just her that hates the job?
But they work together, and he's her manager. He left that part out.
Yeah,
and
I would
he's
if
a
I were
bitch
him.
Of a manager.
He was a boy. She was a girl. Can it get any more obvious? I always find it funny when people's issue with someone is that they've become distant. I feel like that's something where it's always kind of hard to judge, but I'm sure it's real for a
it's
lot of
like,
people.
It's like, yeah, sometimes people are just a little out of it. Like, I'm not batting 100 all the time. I'm not always in Riff City.
Yeah, yeah. It's not always Mary Riff, Miss Purple.
You've gotten distancing. I guess maybe when you're in a relationship like that, well, you know, you got
to
be in it
to
know it.
To me, that just feels
like
an easy way to say, like, yeah, like something wrong.
Yeah, maybe
the vibes are off after a month.
She's become distant. You don't know what she's become because you haven't had enough time to even set a baseline.
She might just have sad disorder. She might just be sad during the summer. Maybe she's like my mom and she gets mad during or she gets sad during Christmas every year.
This whole situation could be a stomach bug. This could be that she had a bad taco last Wednesday.
She's been eating cheese all week and she's been really farty.
Like, literally, that's how little data points you have after a month-long relationship to be like, she's different.
I wouldn't really know how to answer this question, to be honest. Do you think the ex-boyfriend contacted her?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's such a weird situation. I don't know. I don't have much for you. What do you think? It seems like just move back with her. What are you talking about? Like, what is the issue here?
Really? I think he shouldn't. This is such a weird situation. You shouldn't date somebody for a month and move cities with them.
But it could be 30 minutes away. What do you mean? It could be anything. It could be Beijing. I don't know.
This is like when somebody does a FOIA request and they black out way too much shit. This guy went through with like, I don't
it's
want any identified
redacted.
Details. I don't yeah, want yeah. anything that... I'm a guy who knows somebody and also like, she's been weird.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because usually she's redacted, and now she's redacted. All right, let's see. Hold on. So Dr. John Gray, he's written Relationship Tools for Positive Change, which has a very cute pocket watch heart on the cover with a screwdriver and a wrench. 5-Minute Relationship Repair, Tools No Couple Should Be Without, and those are his two books. One of them was reviewed by the guy who did Chicken Soup for the Couple's Soul, and one of them was reviewed by the guy who wrote Wired for Love, a highly intelligent force in the field of science and relationships. How to resolve conflict, stay connected, and share lasting happiness. Should we read this book together?
I think we should start going to friend therapy.
We got to get on the Bad Friends podcast. That's how we're going to solve things.
Yeah, no, I want to give this guy some advice.
Have you ever known anybody who's been like really like pop punk about wanting to get out of this city besides kids when we were like in Lexington, but like in Charlotte or DC? Do you have any like
big, Isabel in bed, kind of.
She hates DC?
No, Charlotte. Yeah, both of them were like, Charlotte's lame. I don't like the city. I think I was one of the few people I knew who was like, I like Charlotte. I think it's a very charming mid-sized city.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's actually really funny because like there's a lot of stereotypes around Sacramento. I know more people who are like, oh, yeah, everyone hates Sacramento people than like, oh, I fucking hate Sacramento.
Sacramento seems like the type of city where, like Charlotte, it would be like, it feels like it'd be the same vibe where everybody you would know would be like, oh, I hate it. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah. No, the stereotype is it's a good place to live if you want to go somewhere else because it's close to things that are cool, but it's not cool itself.
Oh, interesting.
2 hours to the mountains, 2 hours to the coast, 2 hours to San Francisco. You can go wherever you want to go. But Sacramento itself, stupid.
I liked it. Yeah, I have bad taste in cities, clearly. I enjoyed Sacramento.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a weird... Get her pregnant. That way she has to stay with you, no matter what.
Mm.
And also figure out what lease you're on that she wants to leave and get a subletter after a month of living together. Or I guess 1 month of being in a relationship.
Yeah, I know. This sounds like a very busy month. Somebody moved in. You started a new relationship. That relationship was wonderful and it was changing your life. And then things started to go bad.
And then it noticeably, turned.
And now she wants to leave. Her ex-boyfriend is back in touch and you still haven't paid the first month's rent because you pay it that last day of the month. You still are confused about how to use the web portal for this new apartment.
Is it weird that like, you know how like I've told you before that like one of my dreams in life is to be kicked out of a bar, which I have actually had that happen before. So I've already kicked that off my bucket list.
Oh yeah, with me.
Oh, no. Well, that one barely counts. But yes, that's also, Marshall just texted both of us. Marshall also had a General Grievous action figure. Right on. That sounds like Marshall. Thank you for listening, Marshall. We love you. In the same way that getting kicked out of a bar was kind of a bucket list for me, I think having ex-boyfriend drama kind of seems like it'd be kind of fun. I don't know. I've never had it happen before, but it seems like it'd be kind of funny to be like, oh no, her ex-boyfriend's in town.
Should we do a Donald Glover bit where it's like, every guy has a crazy ex-girlfriend. Women don't have crazy ex-boyfriends. Because if you have a crazy ex-boyfriend, you're dead.
That's funny. That's good. I guess with the stalker story, I do have an ex-boyfriend thing, but we weren't dating at that time, so I don't know.
Yeah. Or ever, right? You were just helping her cheat on the boyfriend who was stalking her.
No, we were dating at a certain point. We were doing an open poly thing.
You hold those cards so close to your heart, Adrian. I didn't know that.
What do you mean? You can ask any question you want. You can ask any question you want, Paul.
I have to think to ask if you're doing an open poly thing with the woman whose boyfriend's stalking her.
Yeah. We were before and a little bit after.
You 100% drove this man insane is what we're learning.
No. That's not true. This is not on me. That's blaming the victim, the side victim.
He's the side victim. He was the side piece.
All right. You want to read this answer?
I'm on the stalker side now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You would have done the same. Who amongst us wouldn't have done the same? All right. Answer from John. I can certainly understand your fears and hers. The best things you can do are 1, be very supportive of whatever she needs to do. 2, stay strong within yourself. Love is a gamble and a risk, and there is never any way around that. The best you can do is to embrace whatever seems to be coming up and not make a bad thing out of it. Chances are, if you fully support her in any direction she needs to go, and if you stay really strong in yourself rather than giving in to the more needy part of you, then things will have the very best chances of working out long term. She is young. Did we talk about that? Is she young?
No. Was that part of the question?
I don't think that was ever part of the question. She is young, and actually, so are you. And we love does tend to...
We are young.
Tonight... And love does tend to be more rocky at your age, and what usually happens is that people run away real fast when the fears come up. If you can stand your own ground and shoot her like George Zimmerman and support her to do what she has to do and not make a big problem out of that, then you will show her a kind of acceptance and strong support that is very rare in life, something you cannot get just anywhere. Even, okay, Paul's texting during my column. Even if the road is bumpy immediately ahead, you will be giving your love the best chances in the world to succeed in the long run. Maybe this even may mean she would move back for a while and then travel around with you shortly after that. Who knows? Just stay open and give her your full support to hear whatever she is feeling.
Do you think John guessed they were young because he was like, this is a bullshit question. What is this guy, 18?
This
18?
Must be some biggity bullshit.
What is this? Like a guy right in the middle of college. This must be a dorm room situation. What the fuck's going on here?
The less you take all those feelings of hers as a threat to the relationship, the less it will be a threat to the relationship. Have you ever heard of the old saying about self-fulfilling prophecies? If you have never heard of those, a self-fulfilling prophecy works like this. If you just watch That's So Raven, what are you talking about? If you see her unhappy feelings as a potential threat to the relationship, you are in danger of starting to talk and behave in ways to turn the situation into a real threat to the relationship. How might this work? Feeling the fear of a potential threat, you may try to change her feelings, and that never works. You may try to fix her feelings, and that never works. Then you may start blaming her for having those feelings, or trying to talk her out of feeling that way, or trying to keep her from acting on her feelings. If it means pulling away from you, this will not work. And all of those things that you might do will make her feel like something is wrong with her. Like you do not accept her for who she is, or that you are trying to control her, or trying to kind of put her in jail? That will not work in a big way. She will have to break out of that jail, hence she will pull away in a real way, and thus, finally, the potential threat will get turned into a real threat, all because of the ways you reacted to the fears you initially had. So, one of the best ways to make sure this is not a threat to the relationship is to stay strong within yourself and don't give in to the fears that are coming up. This will enable you to stay in a supportive position with her, and it gives her a sense of security, safety, and trust with you over time. These are rare and important things which support a long-lasting relationship, no matter how bumpy the start. All right. A lot of assumptions made in that answer.
He had to. There would have been no other way to even talk about anything if you hadn't made some assumptions.
I guess that's true.
It was pretty generic. I'll give it some of the most generic, like, hey, just like, here's how basic, don't self-sabotage.
Let me explain what self-fulfilling prophecies are. Oh, yeah, 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 to bring back the Scrubs writers.
What else was, like, in that realm of, like, Scrubs-based lessons about human behavior that are really intense for a middle schooler to be internalizing?
I think Wilfred taught me that everyone's scared and unhappy in at the base of their being.
But that's more like high school. I think I was ready for that message when Wilfred was giving it to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was connecting with that message. I was beating them to the punch on that one. Weirdly deep messaging that kids are just... What are they talking about on Bluey?
Bluey.
Are they talking about how they just never go to bed angry?
There's episodes of Bluey I've watched with my niece that made me a little emotional.
Really? There's the episode where Bandit comes home like drunk off of like six Fosters, drinking another one, and he beats Bluey.
No, there's one where Bluey is going Bluey. Camping and makes a friend, and she and her friend, her friend speaks French only, so it's like a little cute story about how they can't communicate, but they still like grow a friendship. And every morning they go have a different adventure that day, and it's really sweet, but then there's one day where Bluey goes out to their meeting spot, and her friend isn't there. It's really sad, man.
Na 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 na.
And it turned out her friend was in her mind the whole time, and Bluey was having a psychotic breakdown and murdered her family.
And then she blows up a bank, and it's like, where is my mind? Where is my mind, Bluey? Where's Bluey's mind? And then Bluey... never mind. Okay, yeah, yeah, that is deep. That's crazy. And there's the one where Bluey realizes that she has dissociative identity disorder.
I guess Scrubs made it seem like long-term hallucinations were going to be a more real part of regular adult life.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Like, I was just going to be, like, my brother-in-law died, so I actually spent the whole day imagining him hanging out, taking photographs.
You're not talking about, like, the cutaways. You're talking about, like, that, like, couple of episodes where that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not talking about how most of adult life is daydreaming scenarios that happen or whatever. That was really early Scrubs, I guess.
That's more daydreaming. I got that those weren't actual hallucinations on JD's part.
Yeah, yeah. JD Vance.
There's two wolves inside of everyone. Which JD are you?
Which one are you feeding?
Two JDs in each of us.
Which one lives? The one that you feed. With JD's favorite food, which was Appletini's?
What were Turk and Carla's relationship issues? It was like Turk had man-child syndrome.
And he never knew where she was from, which I don't know. I think there should be more self-respect on Carla's name that she doesn't marry a guy who doesn't know where she's from.
And she's from,
For the last time, Turk, it's in the song from the musical episode.
That man again.
Yeah.
I knew you wanted me to say it to get you out of that jam where you didn't know.
No, he keeps calling her Puerto Rican even though she's Dominican. Which really, yeah, real aged bit. I don't know. I just don't think that would work right now.
Yeah, you couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah. No, I just don't think Gen Z would see that as, like, lovable in the same way that it was back then.
I think you're right. I just like saying you can't do it anymore. I wasn't mocking you.
Good on them, though, having two people of color have a stable relationship the entire time.
Oh.
I guess there was the age gap. Gen Z wouldn't be with that. They'd be like, Carl is a predator. Turk was basically a baby. His brain wasn't fully formed.
At 28, the usual age you start working at
as a surgeon? Hospital. What do you mean? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't actually know what age you start working as a surgeon, because they were...
He was a Doogie Howser.
What a reference. Did you ever watch Doogie Howser, or have you just picked it up from other media that...
I just know Neil Patrick Harris, yeah.
Me too. I've never heard of Doogie Howser other than Neil Patrick Harris jokes.
Yeah. What a name, Doogie Howser.
Why is that a show about a little kid who's a doctor and not a show about a poop who lives in a house?
A poop who lives in a house?
Yeah, Doogie Howser.
Okay.
Well, no, sorry. Why is that a show about a little kid who's a doctor and not a show about a realtor who sells houses to poops? Doogie right. Howser.
Yeah. Let's keep both takes of that. I think they're both great. All right. Do you want to get into the third segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
I got 20 people for you, celebs, as we would say, shorthand. And these are all people who are named after a actual geographic location. For each of these celebs, I'm going to ask you the first question, are they from where they're named after? That's 1 point. And then for a second point, you're going to tell me where they are from if they are not from where they actually are named after. So,
okay.
We got 20 people, total of 40 points. Paul, how do you think you're gonna do?
Pretty bad. Honestly, there's like somewhere the nickname is obvious. Okay.
These aren't nicknames, these are names. These are like full government names.
Oh, then how it must be very rare that they're actually from the place.
You don't think parents ever take that into account?
Yeah, I don't think Paris Hilton's from Paris.
There is a weird number of ones.
Although I do think she was born in a Hilton, so
there's a weird number, yeah, and also her parents are named that. There is a weird number of ones where the story is that they were conceived there, but they weren't born there. So there's a little bit of a trick there. But let's. You know what? We can do a random number generator next, but let's just go ahead and start with Paris Hilton, which is my number one.
Okay. Well, I know that she wasn't born in Paris.
Okay.
So I'll say she was born in... I don't know. Where's the Hilton family from? They seem like they might be a Midwest sort of family.
Oh, wait. What was your score that you were going to get?
10.
So you think you can get half of them on whether or not they were born, whether they're named after?
Yeah.
Okay. Modest.
Oh, okay. 20.
Yeah, okay.
I will say she was...
Oh, wait. Do we need to say why this was homesickness? Are these people homesick for where they were named after?
Were their parents sickos who named them after their home?
Did their parents go sicko mode when they named their kids?
Okay, yeah. And I'll put her as born in Kansas.
Paris Hilton is not born in Paris. She was born in New York City.
I should have just gone New York, obviously. The wealth, the luxury. She's so fabulous.
FABULOUS in first class.
Okay, so I got 1 point for that one. Do I need to give you a list of numbers now?
Yeah, that'd be easy.
Okay, 14.
Oh, 14. This is Corsica Wilson. She is an actress. Her number one IMDb credit is In a World from 2013. Is she actually born in Corsica?
You said this was all people I know. Okay.
I said Mosley.
I just don't know who would be from Corsica and name their kid Corsica. That seems ridiculous. So I'm going to say no. They don't have
to be from Corsica. That's where she has to be born.
I'm going to say no. I don't think people fly out to Corsica to have babies. It's not like France famously doesn't treat
they were on vacation, well. And then she was too late term.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good. And I will say she is French, however. No, British. British people love naming their kids shit like that. British.
Okay. She was part of a military family. She was born in Terceira Azores, a Caribbean island or a Pacific island.
Okay.
Damn. But yes, she was not born in Corsica. So you got a point there. All right, next one.
7.
Dakota Johnson.
Definitely not born in Dakota. I'm going to say she was born in... Well, she did come out of a man's Johnson.
So, ooh, she was named after what she came out of. Yeah, that's true.
Actually, ooh.
Do I need to list Dakota Johnson's credits? Do you know where she's from? Madam Web?
Yeah. I do Suspiria, know Dakota 2018. Johnson. I was going to say, what if this is like a tribe thing, like the Dakota tribe? So maybe she was born there. No, I don't think that makes sense. I don't feel like people name themselves after the tribe they're from. All right. California. I'll put her as Nepo baby material. She kind of has that vibe.
I think she is, but she was born in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And just for the record, I was born in Richland County Hospital, Columbia, South Carolina.
19.
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
It's a last name.
Yeah. Okay,
it's let's a go stage Phoenix. Name. Maybe it's a stage name. I think I said earlier that it's everyone's real name. I don't actually know for sure that it's everyone's real name, now that I think about it.
It could be a SAG-AFTRA thing. He could be Joaquin...
Johnson?
Yeah, Johnson.
A lot of Joaquins.
Okay, I'll say Phoenix. That could be like a family name, and his grandfather or great-great-grandfather was the founder of Phoenix, Arizona.
All right. He's from Sedona? Is that what you're saying?
No, Sedona was... named after like the guy's
mail
wife
carrier's wife. Yeah,
the first post office there.
All right, Joaquin Phoenix was born in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, but that's actually where I was gonna guess. You didn't give me a chance.
No, I don't. I'm not giving you both. You get one chance to do yes and or no and.
Oh, got you. Damn it. 3.
All right, Orlando Bloom.
There's 0% chance that man was born in Orlando.
What makes you say that?
In España.
You got to give me more than Spain. You got to give me a city.
Oh.
Or do you want to do like half a point for getting the general country, but one for or half a point for the city?
I guess I have to get at least as specific as the actual name was. So I have to get as specific as a city since Orlando is a city. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Blanket on all Spanish cities.
Barcelona, Sevilla, Madrid.
I'm just going to open Valencia. Up a map just to remind myself what...
You're doing GeoGuessr right now?
I'm just going to zoom in on a city that feels Orlando Bloom-ish.
Mallorca.
Oh, Mallorca does actually feel... But let's go with... let's just go with Madrid. Let's give myself...
You're going for Madrid? All right. So he was born in Canterbury, Kent, England.
Oh, why'd you let that be such a long thing?
There were technically 4 things you could have said that would have been correct. I think how does it work in England? Is it that Kent is the county and Canterbury is the city, or? All right, well, all of those are listed.
Why did I think he was a Spanish guy who just had like a formal English
education? Because he has a little bit more riz.
Okay, I'm glad that you see it too, and I'm not just out of my mind 100%.
He kind of has like an Antonio Banderas thing going on.
11.
11. Oh, God. Denver Pyle. He's an older actor. His biggest credit is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance from 1962.
Let's give it to Denver. Back then, you could be from a little... You didn't have to be a Nepo baby from Hollywood. Mm. I don't know who it is. Let's give it to Denver.
So you're saying born in Denver?
Mm-hmm. Or is it his last name? Is it Poland? Denver Poland?
No, Denver Pyle.
Oh.
I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to give you this one. He was technically born in Bethune, Colorado, a small farming part of Colorado, but he was born in Colorado.
Okay.
All right. So let me give you two on that one. So 1 + 1. All right.
5.
Bristol Palin.
She was born in Anchorage, Alaska.
Is Bristol a city?
Bristol is a city in England, I thought, right? Or is it a region?
Because she was not born in Anchorage, Alaska. She was born in Alaska. Do you want to call that? Or do you want to try and guess where in Alaska she was born?
Okay, let me pull up the map. I only know Anchorage. If I can't pull up a map, then no, I have no other guesses.
Isn't the capital like Juneau? You don't even know the capital?
Oh, the capital is it Anchorage?
It's like you didn't even watch The Great Food Truck Race Season 13.
I have no other guesses. You can take it away from me. I get 1 point on that.
It was Wasilla, Alaska.
Yeah, that wasn't coming up. 16.
Britton Simmons. And if you don't know him, he was on the TV show Penny Dreadful. I don't know what that show's about, but that's his biggest credit.
I'm going to say yes, it was a coincidence. But yes, was born in Britain.
You can do country for that one. No, he was born in Durango, Colorado. Britton Simons, maybe? Well, Simmons.
9.
All right, this one should be pretty easy. You got a broad range to work with. America Ferrera.
Was she born in the Americas? Yes.
Should she be deported or not? No. No, we're not doing continents. We're going to say America is the USA. Hold on. Sorry. Her name is United States of America Ferrera.
No. By the rules of this game that have already been laid out.
No.
Her name is United States Ferrera.
Let me call the judges. What do you guys think? All right, yeah, they say no. It's got to be United States of America. So obviously what's being referenced.
Okay, then no. I actually don't know that much about America Ferrera. She could be like straight up like Spanish. Maybe she's from where Amerigo Vespucci was from. So maybe she's
maybe from Vespucciville.
Yeah, maybe she's Italian.
You think America Ferrera is Italian?
Colombian.
America Ferrera is from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Nepo baby. What made you think she wasn't American, by the way? Just a weird question.
Her Spanish vibe.
It was that Latina fire that she has.
I actually not 100% sure I know who America Ferrera is.
She was in the Barbie movie.
My favorite movie.
She was in Ugly Betty.
My favorite show. Yeah, that's clearly like a Hispanic woman. I don't get what you're saying here.
Well, I'm just saying, what makes you think that person doesn't belong in America or the United States? What made you think that she is a foreigner that shouldn't be here?
Adrian, I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. All right.
Because I just don't think that way. I don't see
deportations. Yeah.
I like to ignore that.
Wait, that's what you're... That's your takeaway?
20.
This is a soccer player. Used to play for Inter Milan. I think he might be at PSG now. Milan Skriniar.
Skriniar. Okay, we're going to go...
Used to play in Italy.
We're going to go not from Milan, and we're going to say... We'll say he was born in Prague.
Oh, pretty close. He's from Slovakia.
I'm not going to attempt
the name of the city that he's from. But yes, he's from Slovakia.
Wait, so you won't even attempt the name, but I have to know the city? God damn it. But you wouldn't give me America on that shit?
If you had said Slovakia, I would have given it to you.
Oh, well, I was actually thinking somewhere like that, but I was like, I'm not going to know a city in any of those countries.
Well, feel free to be more loose with it.
Sure.
The way that you did America, you know, when you were like, oh, so anywhere in the Americas. Okay, yeah.
12.
You know, when you did that like 2 minutes ago? Dallas Roberts. Best been known credit is 310 to Yuma. 310 to Yuma, Dallas Roberts.
I'm going to say, yeah, he had eccentric parents, born in Dallas.
Paul. Dallas Roberts is from Houston, Texas.
His parents are assholes, and I hate them so much.
They wanted him to be born in Dallas, but he was born in Houston.
8.
Ireland Baldwin, one of Alec Baldwin's kids.
Oh, could his parents have been vacationing in Ireland? But no, I'm going to say born in America.
Or could they have been fucking in Ireland?
They could have been. They seem like the type of people who might, for a child, the Baldwin family's so weird. But no, let's go with born in America.
Do you want to try and guess the city?
Boston. Come on, baby.
Los Angeles in America. So yeah, you got a point. Actually, you get 2 points. Yeah, you got it. Okay.
17.
Tennessee Williams. Playwright.
great playwright, hey? I know that. Yeah, I'm going to say that that's a taken name based on where he was born.
He's from Columbus, Missouri.
Damn it. So born it was an advertising. It was an advertising thing.
So here's the thing. Tennessee Williams seems to have spawned many other Tennessees in a way that if I had added other Tennessees, you would have probably known at this point, oh, they're just named after Tennessee Williams. No one actually is from Tennessee ever. No one's ever been from Tennessee.
Four.
Besides Johnny Knoxville. Dakota Fanning.
We did Dakota Fanning already.
No, we did Dakota Johnson. Jackass.
Isn't Dakota Fanning just a white woman?
Yes. What do you mean? What else is she supposed to be?
I'm going to say, what's the one right next to Wisconsin with the M?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Yeah, I'm going to say she's Minnesotan.
Okay. That's 1 point on the board. She's from Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah. Born in Georgia.
15.
15. China Chow. China Chow. She was an actress. Her,
you motherfucker. No, I'm not doing this one. Skip.
China Chow. Pass. Her biggest credit is The Big Hit from 1998. It was a Mark Wahlberg, Christina Applegate movie.
I think she was born in New York City, America.
Okay. You got 1 point. She was born in London. She was a Nepo baby from a big restaurateur and a fashion designer or something like that. I don't know what was so different about that one from the other ones, but okay.
What did we just do?
15?
6.
Okay, I don't know if you know this guy. Apparently, I think he's a music maker or a prank YouTuber. I don't actually know. Austin Mahone. There are a lot of Austins to choose from, by the way.
I'm going to say, since this is like a triangle of people named Dallas are born in Houston. So if you're named Austin,
you're not thinking badly, yeah.
You were, okay. Dallas was from Houston. So Austin would be from, New Orleans.
Austin Mahone is not from Austin. He is from San Antonio.
Oh my god, I really should have gone closer.
Yeah,
to
I was about
that
to say, you were on the right track. Like, you were literally like, yeah, you were lining it up perfect.
I guess the other, because isn't he, wait, that's not, so he's not brothers with the quarterback, with Patrick Mahomes.
No, so it's not like Mahomes, it's Mahone.
I can't hear the difference in names like that.
Oh, okay. It's Yanni.
10.
10. All right. Asia? So you got a pretty big, wide place to work here.
I know. That's like, what, 5 billion people?
Asia Argento.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, she was born in Asia.
Okay.
That's most of the world. She was born in America. I rescind my last one.
Oh, okay. So you got a point on the board then. No, she's from Rome, Italy. Argento.
Oh.
She's a director.
2.
Brooklyn Decker, actress and model.
Yeah, born in Brooklyn.
Okay, so, you're correct, but she's from Kettering, Ohio, not from Brooklyn.
Oh, so I'm not correct, the opposite.
Well, you got 1 point for knowing that she's not from Brooklyn.
Oh, I said she was born in Brooklyn.
Oh, never mind, yeah, sorry. Whoops. By the way, I'm doing a really bad job of keeping up with your score, so we definitely need to do like an edit at the end.
Oh, I'm keeping up with mine.
Oh, what do you have? Because I have like...
1,
I have 15
2,
right now.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, I have 15 because
you nope, have 14. All right, 14.
15 points.
So you need okay, 6 18. More to win and you have and 2 left to go?
Yeah, so you have to get them both right.
To get 18.
Yeah.
So you can't win.
Well, the two last ones are the hardest, so I get double.
Okay, all right, double points, here we go. This is Dallas Green of the solo project City in Color, because he's named after a city in color. I haven't listened to their music, but I know a few people in high school who
like
him.
If he's that obsessed with his name, maybe he is from Dallas. This has not worked out for any other person to say they're from the city they're named after. That literally never happens, but I think this is the exception to the rule.
All right, Dallas Green is from Ontario, Canada. All right, triple points for our last one. We're in the triple round. Here we go. You can get up to 6 points and get your 20 points. Here we go. Cuba Gooding Jr.
He was born in Brooklyn.
So not born in Cuba.
Not born in Cuba.
Born in Brooklyn. Paul, you know Cuba's a country, right?
Oh, America.
You
could have
just gone for a minute. No. You already locked in Brooklyn.
America.
Paul, you're ending with 17 points. Cuba Gooding Jr. was born in the Bronx.
Oh, my God. Classic.
Oh, okay. So what did you learn from this segment?
Nothing. We could do this again right now, and I would get probably a lower score.
You didn't learn that no one's named after where they're born? I tried to find that list. There's no real list about that. The most you get is people who are named after where they're conceived, and literally everything is like, in an interview, they said, no, that's not true. That's not why we named our kid that.
Hey, I learned Asia Argento is an Italian woman.
There you go. And I learned, I didn't learn anything. I made the quiz, so I guess today I kind of learned a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. Have you ever thought about when you have your little crotch goblins, you're going to name them after Lebanon or something like that?
Nah, I'm good.
You're not going to name them Israel? It's a pretty
Israel
common name.
Zion.
Yeah.
Big fact, no cap, get out of here.
Let's do it.
My big fact is that you're never homesick when you're with the homies.
Damn, that's good. All right. Am I no cap? And music goes here.